was just beautiful. Now, today's lesson is, have you seen God lately? I asked my grandson that yesterday. He said, no. We see him every day. We see him in too many ways to understand. And we hear him in such beautiful voice, such beautiful music. That's spirit coming from within, out. Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much. History is full of untold examples of man's search for God. Or should I say man's concept of what God is and what he might look like. There are numerous and varying ideas of what God is, what he looks like, and where he might be found. There are numbers of religions that claim to know a God, the only one to them, that is more powerful than this or that other God worshipped by those of other religions. From the beginning of time, there have been and continue to be those that believe that their religions, their religious customs and cultures and practices must be accepted by others in this world. And they shall go to any lengths to make that happen, even to war. Yes, this is sadly so. And there are also those that go about condemning others, asserting that unless those others come to know their God, they are doomed to a place called hell. And so it is. The man's mental picture, his personal concept, and his ignorance of the truth of God have brought about error in the forms of distrust, hatred, and global mayhem. And since the beginning of time, before the universe came to be, before this or that star was formed in the skies, this or that planet existed, there has been an eternal spirit, an unlimited source of knowledge, of truth, of power, of perfection, and of love, just waiting to be recognized. But man has not looked within himself, but rather has looked to and has clung to the material and limited world of error for his sustenance, for his purpose, for his meaning in life. Yes, man has asserted wrongly, of course, that God looks like this or that. God is a particular race, particular sex, that he has favorites that look like him. And as concepts go, as intellectual reasoning and ego go, man in many instances has made God in his likeness and image. With all of his ego, human limitations, and emotions, there is no such God. And so it is around the globe, around the world. There are those with particular images of God, and even those that have multiple gods. Gods to protect them from disease, a God that favors them during famine, times of war, a God that provides them with blessings and safety while destroying their enemies, a God for this and a God for that. The list is endless. Take, for instance, the golden calf that was brought to bear by the Jewish people shortly after being freed from Egypt by Moses. Here was Moses, elevated in consciousness, receiving the Ten Commandments, while at the same time, man's ego, intellect, human concept, and error culminated in the activity of idolatry. Such error has also to do with the paintings and pictures of the Christ Jesus. How many times have you and I, How many times have we seen the images of Jesus in paintings with long, blonde, flowing hair, blue eyes, maybe green eyes? But these are all physical characteristics that match those of the Europeans that held such an image in mind, that Jesus looked like them. Again, man has made God in his image a replica of what he looks like, or a copy of that concept, that image, that is resident in his human mind. And still today, untold people seek a glimpse of God here and there, are looking upward to the sky, to some far-off place, separate and apart for themselves. And then there are those that believe God can be found in the Ark of the Covenant, or maybe at the top of Mount Ararat, within the supposed vicinity of Noah's Ark. And how about that Shroud of Turin, thought to be the image of Jesus? And what about the Holy Grail and other holy objects and hidden artifacts that supposedly hold the secret to God, that hold evidence of what he looked like, what he looks like, and gives power and eternal life from without in? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is the water under the earth. A few lessons back, I shared with you certain lines spoken by the actor Charlton Heston as he portrayed the character Moses in the movie The Ten Commandments. And again, we talk about Moses returning down from the mountain. And Moses was asked what God looked like. And he answered, "I stood upon holy ground. My eyes could not look upon him. He revealed his word to my mind. And the word was God. He is not flesh, but spirit, the light of eternal mind. And I know that his light is in every man." And so it was. Over 2,000 years ago, the Master Jesus told us very clearly that the Father, God, the Creator of all, was within and of every man, and that he of himself did nothing. That it was the Father within that doeth the works, the good and the very good. My friends, God is the master sculptor, and each of us, you and I, are his work of art, as we are made in his image and likeness, and not the other way around. God is eternal spirit, and so are we. We are individualized expressions of God. And where is God? Well, he is closer than breathing and hands and feet. He lives us, just as he lived Jesus and all those before Jesus. And as he is spirit, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." So, my friends, what does God look like? Where is he? Have you seen him lately? How about this past week? How about yesterday? How about this morning on your way to church? Did you see him? What does he look like? What was he doing? My friends, let us not look amiss for our truth. Let us not seek some mental concept of God out here in the world, a God separate and apart from us that has been manufactured by our own egos than preconceived ideas of what he might look like. Because as man, in his ignorance, searches without, he fails to realize his almighty Creator is right there, all about him, within him, as his source, as his amazing and eternal life, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and omniactive at all times. Intent on finding God in the outer and in material pursuits, man is oblivious to the truth that God is the good and the beauty being expressed all about him throughout the day, in nature, as our hymn, the words of our hymn, in nature, and all of its awe and perfection. God is seen in loving situations, in enlightened people, and in all places everywhere through consciousness. Thus, it is when man really comes to know God and understands what God really is and what he is, shall he begin to feel, to sense, and to realize God's presence that was always there. And it is then also that he shall indeed start to see God. God the good, being manifested in too many ways to count. Yes, even in our daily experience, within this or that 24 hours, God can be present in a given situation in which we find ourselves, as he is and of us as our consciousness. God is in traffic. He's out shopping with us, taking a walk with us, at the office, everywhere we are, God is there. Consciousness. For instance, here is but one personal example where the invisible, the within, God, is made visible, where he was demonstrated and seen. This is my personal example. A few weeks ago, while leaving the church, I got into my car, and not paying attention, I pulled out into the lane of oncoming traffic. I thought it was two lanes. Well, it was one lane. And there I was, with traffic in front of me, beeping horns. Realizing I had done so, I went to turn back into the second lane, the correct lane, but traffic was bumper to bumper, and I couldn't do so. I tried to ease into the correct lane to my right, but there was a car exactly to my right that would not let me in. And the driver was screaming words I cannot repeat here, but I could tell what he was calling me. Nasty words. At any rate, I rolled down my window, and he rolled down his. And being calm and centered, with a smile on my face, I said to him in so many words, "Sir, I am so sorry. I was not paying attention. My apologies. Forgive me, please." In turn, a smile came on his face. And he then said to me in a pleasant voice, "Please, go ahead and cut in front of me." I said thanks, and we wished one another a good day. Well, some may ask, what does that have to do with seeing God? Where was God? Well, guess what? God was in charge of this situation. He was there. He was present, omnipresent, and he was the answer to a potentially nasty situation. In the form of kindness, understanding, goodness, and love. Where do we see him? Well, a frown disappeared and a smile took its place. Angry words disappeared and considerate ones were created. and hostility vanished, while peace came to be. Yes, God was that peace. And that peace was felt within and experienced without. For me, and I am hoping for that man as well. We both felt the truth of our being. God present in our hearts and souls. And thus, we saw God in the form of a smile, in the form of gentleness and kindness, in the form of calmness, and all was good and very good. And as we know in our church, the law of creation or expression, as within, so without. Now let us consider the same situation where the sons of man are in charge, where ego is present, where Wayne Gatewood, that man, as human personalities with their emotions and anger, are at work. Well, we can only imagine the possible outcome of that situation. And it would not have had any appearance or characteristic of truth or of God. We would not have experienced peace, and there would not have been any demonstrations of God. Rather, error would have been at work, and no good would have been manifested in that situation. We would have seen ugliness brought about by this error, by the turning away from God, from our truth. And so it is, my friends, from the invisible to the visible, when God is present in our consciousness, regardless of the situation, the Christ of us is seen and experienced out here in the world. One of the greatest statements in the Bible is that you might believe on him who has sent me. Given our teaching of divine science and given our growing awareness of our being, there should be little doubt as to whom it was that God sent, and who and what it is that is sent out into the world today when truth is at work. God sending himself. Himself is your consciousness. Consciousness is God. It is my consciousness. It is your consciousness. It is God. Individualize this as sonship as your Christ, just as it was the man Jesus. Yes, God sends himself into manifestation, visibility, as you and me, as was the case with our brother Jesus. And having knowledge, having faith, and through realization and acceptance, it is our very own consciousness, when it is full of truth, that appears as God, as the good, that is our outpictured here in the world. And so, 2,000 years ago, people saw God on earth, and it was the Christ Jesus and all of his glory. And how many of us here today, right now, even in the slightest way, said to one another, think about this. You know, I actually saw, felt, and sensed God working through that person I met yesterday, through that stranger that touched my heart by what he said or did. I don't understand it, but my soul was lifted, and I was at perfect peace. Well, as we know, it was God that was coming through. And he was made visible once again in the form of peace and a sense of fullness. And so it is. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Anytime we see love in action, we are seeing God and God in action. Anytime we witness one person lifting up another in love as his sister and brother, we are seeing the Father. However, that which is not good, that which is not of kindness, that which is not of understanding, that which is not of love, is not of God. It is a product of the flesh and its limitations and ignorance. An example. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this lesson. Someone I know, a proclaimed Christian, after visiting New York City, called me to complain about the taxi drivers in Lower Manhattan that were of the Muslim faith. This person was very upset that the Muslims got out of their cabs, laid down their prayer rugs, and began to pray. What an outrage, this person exclaimed. And here in America, no less. Well, I listened. And then asked a simple question. What would Jesus have done if he were there while these individuals were praying? There was no answer to my question. Well, I shared that I believed, that I knew without any doubt, that Jesus would have embraced these people. As the Christ went before him, manifesting love and joy and oneness. This is Christ. This is Christ seen in action. People of different religions and beliefs and concepts coming together at that one moment of truth when they know within their heart who and what they are. This is heaven. This is God made visible. So there you have it. A concept of intolerance and condemnation that would bring about error and ugliness, or through realization and consciousness, the demonstration of God, the good, at work. Whatever the case, it is consciousness, or a lack thereof, that brings about the nature and characteristic of that which is made visible out here in our world of effect, that which we watch unfolding and taking place. We create. Given our divine science teaching and what we have come to learn and understand, is it not wonderful, blissful even, to know, to be grateful for our truth? Is it not a joy for us to be able to sit in our favorite chairs or couch at home, or sit out on the porch, or in a quiet spot, wherever that might be, and bask in God's light, feel his presence within and about us, and listen to the still small voice within that beckons to us, joy of joys, we need not search any longer. But on the other hand, it is inconceivable to understand the untold numbers that cannot come to realization. They want to see proof that go through a lifelong journey in search of some God. A mental God of concept located outside of themselves in some person, place, or thing. But maybe even some of us have been there before. How does that song go? I once was blind, but now I see. Let's face it, at some time in our lives, we too were most likely lost in Egypt, wandering around in the darkness, looking for God here and there, and not comprehending his wonderful demonstrations were all about us at that very moment. But through grace, realization did come to us. And it came to us when our hearts, when our minds, and our souls were open and receptive to it. Yes, as was the case with the Saul of Tarsus, the light came upon him, and his very own being was changed. His Christ self was at hand, And as it is for many of us, our search for God outside of ourselves is over when we realize who and what we are. We see and understand and we give thanks for the glorious demonstrations of good, of beauty, that we see every day, knowing all is God at work. I never realized it before. When I looked at a flower that was perfectly symmetric, when I looked at this or that, when I looked up at the stars, when I saw the sky, when I saw a smile on a child's face, when I saw a couple hugging one another with love and understanding, I had no realization that that was God in action, that I was seeing God. I was too busy looking for something else out here that I could identify with. Yes, I once was blind, but now I see. Regarding man's search for God out here in the world, I offer up another movie. I'm sorry, but I love movies that have something to tell us. I not know how many times I have watched this movie, The Kingdom of Heaven. I don't know how many of you have watched it. But from the first time I watched it, I understood the central theme of Orlando Bloom's character, Baleen, was his loathing of religion and his desperate, earnest, yet ignorant search for God. Thus, for this or that reason, Baleen ended up in Jerusalem during the Crusades. And the very first day upon his arrival, he traveled to the spot where Jesus was crucified. There he stayed up all night, just waiting for God to reveal himself, to speak to him. After all, he was in the Holy Land, and he was sure to see God. So he thought, but he did not. Why? Because like so many others, he knew not of God. He did not know God. And he had no clue that God was right there within him at all times. But nonetheless, his search continued out here. Thus, Balaam defends the Holy Land, ready to give of his life, if need be, all the while believing that it, a place, the city of Jerusalem itself, had the power and the glory. And the movie concludes with Jerusalem being vanquished, being taken over by the great Muslim leader, Saladin. It is this time as Balaam and thousands of others spared by Saladin prepared to depart Jerusalem. He speaks the following words to the sister of the loving but transitioned king, the king who knew God within, and says to the king's sister, if this is God's kingdom, he can dispose of it as he likes. Your brother's kingdom was here. He points to the heart. And he says, that kingdom is not surrendered. Balaam came to know truth. His search was over. And it was also throughout his time in Jerusalem where he witnessed the love and understanding, the sense of oneness and good demonstrations that came forth from within the king that knew God. Again, my friends, God is here now. So I ask you now, have you seen him? Did you see him today? Think you might see him after you leave church today? I could guarantee you this, that if you hold to truth and practice God's presence with gratitude and humility, not only shall you witness more of God at every turn, but the good of God, of you, shall come forward from within and shall be felt and seen by those around you. Yes, your light shall shine before men as a beacon of good, of abundance, of perfection, of love, the light of God. Put no stock, my friends, put no faith in any person, place, or thing out here in this world. And look not to these things of the outer world to find, to see God. And the scripture reads, At that time, if anyone says to you, look here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We see God when we develop that spiritual sense in many ways, through our reading of inspirational, metaphysical, scriptural books, and especially the Bible, through teaching and being taught about spiritual living, right here at our church, through our courses of divine science, through our association with others, one another, that are on the same path with us as our truth is revealed. We being together right now today here in this church in one mind brings about that increase in spiritual sense. I'm not sure about you, but I feel it. I feel it right now. It brings about our God consciousness, that mind that was also in the Christ Jesus. My friends, as we individually and collectively come together in our spiritual oneness, we shall for sure see more and more of God in our lives, not only here in our church, but in our workplaces, in our homes, in our relationships with others, and in our daily lives. He is everywhere, revealed in consciousness. As we depart our church today, let us commit all the more, each one of us, to the truth of our being, so that the Christ light of each of us shines so brightly that it attracts those with ears to hear, those with open and willing hearts and minds, so they too may come to know and live in its glorious source. Our Father in heaven, and their Father in heaven, one Father of all, in all. Should we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson, this knowing, this truth enter your consciousness? Please close your eyes. Become comfortable in your seats. Breathe in a deep breath of life and know that the air that sustains you, the world about you, the peace that lives you, the wonder and awe of the universe, all nature, the skies, the oceans and the seas, and the eternal spirit that lives and lifts you are God, the Father of all that is, the invisible and the visible, the one and the only universal creator. Yes, my friends, be still. Quiet your heart. Be still and know that the grace of God is yours, for no other reason than you are His beloved child. Be still. Breathe in again and again the eternal breath of God. Feel His presence in the silence, the peace within. And with a smile on your face, with joy and gratitude in your heart, with the knowledge of an infinite appreciation for your true being, give Him, your loving Father, boundless praise. For the awareness of your loving presence that is here and now, in all of its glory and all of its power. O most loving God, O most glorious Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace.